And blessed be the name of the one holy and triune God. Amen. Amen. When we gather on this Sunday, life is at a much different pace. For us to have a conversation or a consideration of the implications of faith around the resurrection. Because last week we had, with all of the events of Easter, so much energy being stirred up with people who were coming in to the point that even our Sunday service routine is disrupted. And we find ourselves where we come back the Sunday afterwards at a very different place, to the point that when we look at our church's parochial reports, which we have to submit to the national church and the diocese, looking at our finances and our attendance and such, in the parochial report, there is a specific line after the average Sunday attendance, which is Easter Sunday attendance. It's quite specific. I don't know why they want to know it. Maybe it shows the possibilities. Because the number of people who attend is 2 to 3 times our average Sunday attendance, depending on what the weather was doing the weekend of Easter. But in that encounter, with all of the energy of Easter, I find myself being asked by people oftentimes after Easter if they should have come to that service, or if Easter Sunday is the best Sunday for them to really start coming to church to engage or re-engage the Christian community in their own lives. And it's an odd question to be asked because Easter is just so different. If someone were to come for Easter and let that be their first service, the next Sunday they show up, it's quite different, to the point that what is the nickname for the Sunday after Easter Sunday? Low Sunday. And for us to also understand, we cannot possibly keep up the energy that is required for that Sunday service for Sunday after Sunday. All you need to do is ask your choir. But instead, on this Sunday, which in many ways is a better Sunday to begin to engage one's questions or one's relationship with the church, it is the Sunday where, rather than dealing with all of the drama and all of the celebration around the Easter event specifically, instead to begin that process of trying to understand, what does the implication of our risen Lord have to do with my faith in my life? Which means this Sunday is a much better newcomer kind of Sunday, because they have a whole year by which to ask and struggle and engage with and participate in the life and worship of a community of faith. So then when they come around to Easter, they have a much better opportunity to be open to the possibilities and have a perspective about what we are doing, and not just that it is a big show. For us to be aware that in this Sunday, what we find ourselves being engaged with is, what is the place of faith in your life? And for us to ask ourselves that question, what does faith mean for me? You really do have to kind of take a step back. Where do I see faith fitting into my life? Do I understand my faith to be something which is based in the God of the gaps? That things I cannot explain in my life through science or other ways, well, that's God. And I'm going to just have faith that God is in those gaps. God's not anywhere else. We can explain all that, but God is in those gaps. That can also lead to God being only in the miraculous events in our lives. The only times we know there's a real God and that Jesus is alive and is our Lord is in the miraculous, which creates some of the problems with Easter, because it can also be misunderstood as a mystical or a magical event. Poof, Jesus is back. And that's not what we talk about. Or is faith something that is an opposition? There is that language that we often hear going on, faith and science, faith and politics, where we try and see faith as something that stands in opposition to science, which I always find very disappointing and very sad, because I always enjoy science as being able to help me both understand and appreciate all the deeper what God has done in all of God's creation. And to assume that my faith and my formation as being a disciple of Jesus does not in some way, shape, or form influence my concerns and my opinions with society around me is a foolish notion. But for us to, rather than try and take faith and compartmentalize it with everything else, to be able to understand that in the encounter that we talk about of faith today with Thomas, it is for us to understand it is a life-altering, all life-encasing experience about faith in the living God, which is revealed that so changes our understanding and our encounters and our relationship with everything in our lives, that all else bumps into our faith, but it does not by any way, shape, or form discount our faith. It may even deepen our faith if we try and be open to that possibility. For us to then, rather than try and engage in an understanding of faith in the grand global incarnational or magnanimous transcendent experience with the living God, take a step back and consider what it is to have faith in a relationship that you have with someone else. Because God is very smart, and God knows how stubborn we can be. God knows. But God is also willing to engage in that encounter of trying to establish the relationship in an expression of God's love, which is revealed in this human experience which Jesus brings to his disciples. He brings to us. It is to bring it down to what does it mean for us to be in a relationship with somebody else, where you have a certain amount of faith in that person. There's a certain amount of just you give them trust. There is a care that exists. There is compassion. There are the possibilities with people that you really have trust and faith in to be able to understand you can share your hopes with them and the craziest desires of possibilities, and they'll hear you and they'll share theirs with you. And there's enough love and concern and respect and compassion for one another that even if we were to disagree about everything around us, there's still such an appreciation for who that person is, that you would never reject or turn your back on that person in the struggles and tribulations of life. To be able to bring it down to that understanding of faith, and then from there move towards a greater understanding of if that's what it's like to have faith and being in relationship, consider all the greater what God's love does in being in relationship with us. And it happens first, and then we respond to that love. Because in many ways, Thomas is that expression of who we are, our struggles. Thomas has a problem with his faith in that he thinks that it is all about being what he knows. And he can understand it, and he can control it, and it has to make sense on his terms. And the thing for Thomas that he really struggles with is what happens when your faith is something that, rather than becoming something that's always reassuring, it becomes something that makes you uncomfortable. What if it's not going to be the way that you thought it was, but instead it has to become something that you're just going to have to believe and trust that's the way it is? And for us to understand that if we, like Thomas, find those moments where our faith has to be something more than simply being an intellectual exercise, for us then to be aware that our faith is going to make us uncomfortable, and into that discomfort, Jesus steps. Jesus steps in and meets Thomas in the challenge. But with this story of Thomas, the benefit that Thomas has is he says, I will not believe him unless I see him, and the Lord does just that. But lest we get lost and think, well, then that must be the only way really to believe. We have to have this tangible incarnational expression with Jesus appearing to us, offering us to see the holes in his hands and to put our hands in the wound in his side. What we are reassured and challenged in the Gospel of John is that statement when Jesus says, have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. It is for us to understand that in John's gospel, that reassurance about belief is while Thomas has his experience, we in turn are given an understanding and a blessing and an appreciation to understand and live into a faith, which means you're not necessarily going to get to see Jesus, but then how is it that we encounter our Lord? How is it that we're going to trust that God does find God's way to express God's love, which we encounter in Jesus? And hence we find ourselves where we are brought into the family of the body of Christ in baptism. For us to be aware that we come into this place of worship to be fed just as our Lord has fed us before, and then being sent out to do in our lives as disciples of the risen Lord, to be able to people who live into this faith and understand it in a deeper sense of what it is to trust that God can express God's love in amazing, wonderful, unexpected ways, but also in the most intimate moments when we go and we wash and have our feet washed by one another. It is a faith, then, that has hope in many possibilities, but it's also grounded in our experience. Faith is very ambiguous. There's just no way to get around it. You can't take faith and compartmentalize it. You can't take your faith and say, well, now I've got it, and it's all packaged up and put into this box. If you go to some of the stores around town, I know they will sell you a book that guarantees that. But I caution you on reading that book. Don't limit yourself quite that much. Instead, for us to be aware that this discipleship with our Lord places our faith in the hope and possibilities and trust. But it's not just as an idea, but it's also as a relationship. It is as an experience. It is what we do in our lives with the people around us. Years ago, when I had my professor of government as one of my parishioners, I often seem to have former teachers of mine as parishioners. But I had the privilege of being with Bob on the particular part of his journey, which would be the end of his life. And one of the things that Bob was struggling with was when he had cancer, he was really ticked off. He did not want it. He didn't want it to end that way. He had a different vision for how it was all going to end up, and it just wasn't working out. And he kept bumping again and again into things that made it more and more difficult for him to be able to get his head around some stuff. And so he one day asked me, Webster, is it okay if I, in our prayer, pray for a miracle? And he knew the end result. He knew what was coming. And I said, absolutely. The gift of our faith is to pray into possibilities. Because it was only going to be by a miraculous act that Bob's cancer was not going to be his death. And so on the one hand, he prayed for a miracle. Absolutely. Dear God, I don't want it to end this way. I have my preferences. And I would much rather it be something else. And by the way, give me more time and all these other things that we would hope for in the miraculous. And in the end, the miraculous part of his journey, which I always was astounded because he'd asked the question so honestly, and asking the question was a reassurance of a faith with possibilities, but he did not, just because he didn't get his way, take his marbles and leave his relationship with God. Rather, he lived out the rest of his days as a faithful person, praying for possibilities, but also always in relationship with God and encountering this faith in God in the people around him. For us to be aware that there is that gift that we have in our faith that allows us to be a people who live into hope, to be a people who may struggle at times to understand if the tomb is empty, then why is the world this way? But on the other hand, to be people who also realize and take advantage of and participate in those opportunities where if the world is this way and the tomb is empty, we are called, therefore, to do this. To do what? To be people who model what the risen Lord gave us to model. How is it that Jesus lives out his life and we as disciples live our lives out that way? To understand that our faith is not only in those miraculous moments, but is also in the mundane realities and appreciation of this beautiful world that we live in. To engage in the challenge of understanding the way this world functions, but not take that to be the way that it has to be. To seek to be people who are stewards of God's creation because we know so much of how this creation works without exploiting it to meet our own needs. To be people who seek to follow our Lord Jesus so that even in the challenges that we face in the face of death, we are able to witness in this world we understand to a certain point, but we trust a great deal and believe in what God will give us, even beyond death itself. Thomas allows us to ask the question, sure, but don't allow the questions to stop you from understanding that we also have the ability to engage, serve, and love in the world that we are in and in the world to come. It's a faith that is about Easter, but not just one day a year when we get to triple our attendance, but rather on the next Sunday and every other day of the week. Blessed be the name of God. Amen.